feel like I've been here so long and said and talked so much that why would you want to hear more, you know? But I realize that there are new people that don't know me. I've been a very blessed woman all my life. I've got wonderful children, as all of you know. Some are, and many are serving the Lord today, so I'm thankful. And I'm very grateful for John Castillo, because he gave me 33 years more of my life last night. He was very sweet. He said, I'm only 50. That's a joke, of course. But anyway, I was saved when I was 9 years old. In a church over in Fort Worth, I heard the gospel and I knew that God needed saving, but I didn't know Him. And then I was raised in a Christian home. My dad, my mom was a really wonderful mother, and my dad was not only a good mother, a good father, but he was a wonderful man. I can truthfully say that I never saw any can of beer or any drink in my home.
Amen.
I never heard my dad use one curse word.
Amen.
I never saw smoke. I never had to worry about smoke in my house. He never smoked. He was a wonderful Christian man. And yet, I just really am very thankful I had good Christian parents.
Amen.
And then when I was grew up, 15 years old, in Corpus Christi, I felt God calling me in a special way. So I'd like you to turn to Acts 1, very familiar verse. Acts 1, 7 and 8. This is a verse that spoke to me when I was 15 years old. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And you know, he spoke to me. He said, you know, you can do that.
Amen.
You can go. You know, you can't preach, but you can share. And you can have children teach them to share.
Amen.
Godly men, godly women. And so I feel like that was a challenge to me, and I accepted that challenge. I gave my heart and life to Him to use in whatever way He wanted to. And as you most of you know, after graduating from high school, I met a young man who wanted to be a missionary too.
Amen.
And so we met. I met Dale West, and he was one of three boys, no sisters, and he was the oldest. And God was gracious to that family. All three became preachers. All three.
Amen. That's right.
And that is a blessing that my in-laws cherished all their life, that they had three sons who preached the gospel.
Amen.
And they were all very faithful, I have to say that.
That's right. Amen.
Anyway, so we married Dale Finish Baylor, and then he started pastoring, and all the time thinking, well, we're going to go one day. We're going to go to the mission field one day. But you know, in those days, no one had hardly heard of faith missions. It was either you went as a Baptist or you went as a Methodist or you went as some denomination. And we had not been trained yet, so we thought, well, it's just a matter of just waiting till our time comes and saying that God will open the door. Well, he pastored 8 years, and finally one day he came. We were living in Dallas. He was pastoring. And he came home and he said, you know what, honey? God said go, and we just better go. So we loaded up our old station wagon. At that time we had four children. I had one on the way. And we got in our station wagon and we took off. Didn't know one word of Spanish except what we'd heard occasionally. Knew one person, one missionary had been in our church speaking about a month or two before. He lived in Guadalajara, which is a long way. We got there. We went all the way down. Of course, as missionaries can tell you, always trouble and old cars and trailers. And we had that, but you know what? We still had the goal in our mind that we were going to go, and God somehow, some way, was going to be able to teach us the language, and we would start. But I have to say that Dale, he was so excited, but yet he was concerned because he couldn't speak enough Spanish. He thought, well, so what he started doing was he would go in Guadalajara, he'd go to a park, and he'd sit down on a bench next to someone. And what little Spanish he had learned, he would give them the gospel as best he could. And when he spoke all he knew, then he'd go to the next bench. And every morning, faithfully, that's what he did. Until he was able, on his own, to give the gospel. And so that was a blessing. But as we were contemplating, you know, where would we go from here, and he felt kind of uneasy because he couldn't really feel like he really could preach yet. So he thought, well, we'll start taking in children. So we started doing that, which we didn't have enough of our own. We already had five, and Philip was on the way again, almost six. So I said, okay, you know me, whatever. So we started taking in children. First once we had four for one family. And they were a challenge, and our Spanish, of course, was a challenge. But little by little, we learned. And that is a long story. To make a long story shorter, I'll tell you that we started an orphanage. We had Lord was good to us, I'll have to say. We saw all the children that we raised, trust the Lord. Amen. And that was a blessing. After many years, in fact, that was we went in 60, let me think. We went in 58. In 61, we found a piece of land that we felt like we could buy and build on. And we built our houses, cottage plan, all out of adobe, nothing else. If you've ever been in an adobe house, it's cool in the summer and warm in the winter, no heat. And that's amazing. And we built those homes. But again, after many years, and we did... I know it was a blessing to many children that didn't have a place to go. And yet, especially Dale's, in the back of his mind, was always the thought, well, I can't really give myself to what I want to do is preaching, except right here. Somehow, he just felt like God had something better, something else. So after praying about it for 3 years, then we had to tell the children that we were going to close, and they would... And you know who cried the most was my children. Because you see, my children were losing their brothers and sisters. And the Mexican children said, taste it, I said. You know, and they didn't shed tears. They knew that they'd been blessed with many years of good home and wonderful friends. And so, but they just did fine. Some of them had left already. Some of them had gone to other places. Some had come to the States. So we only had four that we had actually planned to put somewhere. And so that was not as bad as we had was afraid of. So then we just started really praying that God would... In fact, we came home after that to just really pray and seek the Lord's face about Dale needed a partner. So we came to Houston and being there for a while and working the church there and just working in a job that we were faithful to our church that we attended. We started coming over. Well, let me go back a little bit. Well, we were at the ranch. We called it Ranchito del Rey, by the way. It's Little Ranch of the King. That's what we called it. Lendl and Berlin were in Guatemala then. And he was a friend from Brazil, from El Palo. He knew them all the West brothers. They were pretty, not famous, but, you know, known, well known. Anyway, so we would come from Houston over and visit Oakno. And, of course, it wasn't Oakno then. It was just tin caves. Anyway, they had Bill, who was going to, I won't say Venezuela, that's not right, Guatemala. And I don't know at what point they began to talk back and forth. And so they decided maybe they could work together. You know, Bill's excitement and his physical ability and Dale's, you know, calm, quiet word, knowledge of the word and all that, maybe they make a good team. So they were going to go to Guatemala, right? Again, back. So we followed them down there. And after, I think, 10 days there, Dale and I both felt like our heart was still back in Mexico. So we told them we feel like we need to go back home, which was like home to us. And so we went to, got to San Luis, sold our home in Houston and everything, and got to San Luis, and lo and behold, who was there already but Bill. He met us there. they had decided that they would come to Mexico too. So that began the team, the West Kincaid team, and they blessed us in a mighty way. Real energy, excitement, and so that's how that started. And then we began to meet in our home for meetings, and that's how the church is at Salini, I should say. Yeah, my street. And where were we?
San Luis.
I've got so many memories of so many places. And San Luis, it started in my house. And it grew and grew, and I mean, praise the Lord, it did. I was just so thankful. The guys were out showing films and, you know, on the street all the time, and God was really, really blessing. And but we were growing, and we didn't know where we were. They were up the stairway. It was sitting. I had to move all my furniture out every Saturday night. We had to move it, clean out a room where we could put chairs in. And they were sitting up the stairway, and so it was something. So one day I looked out my kitchen window, and my kitchen window faced the street. And right in front of the window, right across the street, was a for sale sign on the side, on that lot right across from our house. And it was not there before, so. Bill talked about it. So Dale, I think it was Bill, or you were Dale one that called Wendell to ask his advice. Well, hey, let's buy it, you know. So many of you probably sacrificed to help put down the first payment in that house on that property. So we began to have our meetings there. And in the meantime, as you people here, some of you began to pray about going to the mission field. And God really opened the doors, and many came. So Brother Lindell told all the kids that were coming down, whatever Dale and Bill tell you to do, you do it for 2 years, even if you have to clean potties. I'll never forget that. Even if Dale tells you to clean potties, she's clean potties. And so, in other words, they were going to be under their teachings for 2 years. And then after that, then they could go. And so that was the start of the churches that started in Mexico. And you know, it was such a blessed time. God has been so good to me. I just can't tell you enough experiences. I mean, I'm making it brief for that plan too, but it's just been wonderful. Today I have three missionary children. My daughter and her husband in Venezuela. My oldest daughter, Joey, courses in Poland. And Mike and Susan, who will be coming in, I think, tonight. They're in Mexico, as their daughter and son-in-law are, too. So, and then I've got my Mexican son, one of the young men we took in, 13 years old. He has started a church in Dallas, and he's pastoring a Hispanic Baptist church now. So that's a blessing. It is a blessing, because that young man came to us with such bad burns on his legs, he could hardly walk. When he was little, it's very... Fireplaces in Mexico are very common, where it's in cold places, and they don't have any protection around. They just are open. And he had crawled into one of those when he was a baby, and it just burned his leg so badly. We had a wonderful doctor who had never became a Christian, even though, I don't know how many times he was witness to, but he was a specialist in things like that. Not a burn specialist, but he was a bone specialist. So he agreed to. Between he and another friend, he would do the operation. So he did. And so he's able to walk today very well. But what a blessing, you know, that he turned to the Lord, and now he's pastoring. He's a sweet, sweet young man. He's been here several times. But he calls me Mama. Once a month, faithfully, every month, he calls me, Mama, how you doing, Mama? So that's a blessing for me. And then all the rest of my children are faithful to the Lord. All of us got saved. Only one very, very sad thing. That little girl that we got when she was 2 days old. Many of you remember her, Linda. She was a very precious girl. She and Joey were only 2 months, just a few months apart in age. And we got her when she was 2 days old. So she's like our daughter. In fact, we adopted her legally. But she married a young man, a very sweet young man, but he was from a family who... we're all drinkers, all of them. And she died just 2 years ago from alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a very sad thing for us to be able to realize that. But But she trusted the Lord when she was younger, and so I know she's with the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, it's been a great ride. But yet, I had to think, what in the world can I do now? Well, I can be here.
Amen.
And most of the time I can drive, except if I sneak off after dark. The kids don't like me to drive at night on the freeway. But I drive down Callahan, so I'm safe. Anyway, I'm 83, so that's why I thank John for his sweet thing. 83 years old, and I do have all the children, and I'm very blessed. I'm a grandmother, 27 times. Great grandmother, 31 times. Or we'll be 31, Missy. She's here somewhere. When she dominoes, right away. And I've got one great great grandchild, and I'll have a second one 40 years old. So I'm a very blessed woman. Very blessed woman. I can't tell the Lord how thankful I am for the life I've had. But it's been wonderful. I mean, the hard times, yes, many hard times. I mean, you know, when you're a cook for that many children, and you wash their clothes by hand, because we didn't have electricity for 2 years. Okay, so I scrubbed out by the wells and drew every bucket of water from the well, and I scrubbed in cold water for those children. My biggest day was 36 pairs of jeans one day on the rug door. But still, I don't regret one day the part I had in the lives of these children, and I just feel like it's God's place for me.
Amen.
And what does he have for me now? Well, I can be here, and I can give.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a song that I really do like that I don't know if many of you have heard it or not. It's an old song. I found it in an old book that almost fell apart when I opened it. Right in the corner where you are. How many of you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Very old song, but a great song. Here's what it says. Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to shed your light afar. To the many duties ever near you, now be true. Right in the corner where you are. And the chorus goes like this. Right in the corner where you are. Right in the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you may guide across the bar. Right in the corner where you are.
Amen.
That's what I try to do. I try to, as much as I can, greet people. I give tracts out to people that come to my door. I witness to my neighbors. I've just been so blessed. I can't tell you what a privilege it is for me to be here. It's just to me an honor that God has let me live this long. And I feel privileged that I have children that are still serving the Lord.
Amen.
And I love you all. I just pray for each one of you. I do pray every morning. In fact, Joey calls me every Monday because he knows I want to know about Sunday. And he knows I'll pray.
Yeah.
And I can always pronounce their names, but I do pray for them. And Susan always calls me from Mexico when they have special needs there, and she knows I'll pray for them.
Amen.
And I'm not a faithful, I don't mean long prayers, no, but I pray faithfully. I just pray that God will bless this conference, and that many of you will see the need to be a missionary where you are.
Amen.
That you'll brighten your corner where you are.
Amen. Amen.